Stan Reynolds Reel 3.
Yes, so I was up on the upper deck watching these shells being fired, but it didn't seem to make a lot of impact. And the other destroyer that was with us was the Paladin. It decided to go in close and was going to ram the sub, the Japanese submarine. But our captain gave orders not to. And in that time, the Paladin turned off away, but was so close that on the Japanese, most submarines had wire cutters, which were for mines, which scraped alongside the Paladin, and like a tin opener, it opened the side of the destroyer, made big gash right alongside it, where it was so close that it started taking water in the Paladin, and obviously they pulled off away, and they thought that they were going to turn over through the water going through into the destroyer. They laid off and we decided to go in close and use throwers for depth charges. They weren't dropped, they were fired from the side nearby close so that they would be near the sub, the Japanese submarine, and try and blow it up from there. There was no action from the Japanese submarine, but it was still moving about 8 knots, so it was still moving away or in a direction wherever it was going, but it did not stop. So eventually we decided to lay off and fire torpedoes at it. Well, whether them settings on the torpedoes were wrong, there was 7 cent off from our destroyer to sink it, and not one of them 7 could have hit. There was no explosion, nothing, and the Japanese submarine was still moving. There was nobody on the conning tower or anything up above from there. So, obviously, you couldn't make out what was going on, really. So the last resort was one torpedo left, which we had 8 torpedoes on the destroyer. One was left, and that last one, they say, was fired, and they say that was the one that sunk the Japanese submarine. But myself, in my view, from watching what was going on, I didn't think that was the torpedo that had done it. I think they must have set charges in the submarine and just blew it up.
What made you think that?
Well, watching from there, and the last torpedo was sent off, and we followed in that direction towards the submarine. And in my estimation, that would have blown up quite a long time before we were moving towards there, like the speed of the torpedo that would go to there. And moving towards it, I thought, well, that must have, if it's hit now, it must have gone up. But the time of that torpedo being sent off, I may be wrong, but the estimation, I don't think it was the torpedo. I think they'd have set charges in the Japanese submarine and just blew it up, because as we approached nearer to it, it just blew up in front of us. And that was the end of the Japanese submarine. We did pick no survivors up. All there were remains were life jackets and just all fuel from the Japanese submarine, which we took samples of the oil fuel, because that was trying to find out where they were getting their fuel while they were out there, from maybe merchant ship or whatever, refueling, anything like that, or from the islands. And that was the end of that story.
Any other memories from the Petard?
Well, the actions were all the way around different places. Plenty of action. Dodecanese Islands, which I think I've already mentioned. And the Italian coast, bombardments.
Which ship did you go to after Petard?
When I came back home, and the Petard had finished their commission, which we called paid off, finished, when we got back to England. And obviously the crew just leaves, goes back to barracks, and then you find other ships to go to, or drafted to, from there.
Which was that for you?
Well, it was, I happened to put in for a course to be a sailmaker's mate while I was back in Portsmouth. So I'd done a course of sailmaking and passed and got made up leading sailmaker. And from there I went on to a merchant ship which was going out to Singapore, to the Far East again. And obviously doing a job on there which was to do with aircraft carriers again, repairs, which was done on the ship, repairs for planes that were out there.
How did sailmaking come into this?
Well, the sailmaking didn't come into that part, but there was other units there which they had fleet air arm personnel that were going out there as well to deal with that sort of work, that repairs to aircraft. But my job was nothing to do with the repairs to aircraft in any way. But obviously there was jobs on the ship to be done, as regards to covers for the guns or whatever on upper deck, which need covers, which was made up, which I'd done also a petty officer sailmaker.
What was the name of the merchant ship? Well, it doesn't matter if you've got.
Well, I can't think at the moment that name of that merchant ship.
Were you ever in any action again after this?
No, that was the late part of 1940, the end of 44, 45, so there was no action going on as regards to that. So the war was more or less near the finish then, 1945.
Now, you've got quite a collection of books about the Navy and about the Petard and the various ships you were in.
Yes.
And in particular relating to the U-559, but you have some comments about the question of accuracy of the accounts they give.
Oh yes, definitely. The accounts, and which I've told the author that is wrong, but he said, well, that is my information I've got, and I'll stick by it. So there's no argument as regards to say, well, you were wrong, but he's taken it from other personnel.
What kind of things have they got wrong?
As regards to the petard being alongside the U-boat and them stepping off from the petard onto the U-boat. That, to me, was ridiculous. We never did get alongside, and no way they stepped off from the petard onto the U-boat. Why did they ever want to lower the whaler if that was the case? And the petard was always laying away from the U-boat at that time. So obviously these two had dived over. Why did they need to be diving over the side to swim over to it? And yet you get a count in the book stating we're alongside, and they stepped off from the petard onto the U-boat. To me, it's a load of lies in that sense. But obviously the author would take it, that was the story he was given, and he'd stand by it. But I said, well, I'm one of the original crew that was on the way that went over to there, alongside. And there was a statement made about two whalers being lowered to go over there. No way, there was only one there. You know, so confusing stories when you get these books. You get this going on through different episodes through war, that this happened and that happened. But when you get the real story, it's altogether different.